Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the preaching and teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. Today, we have a guest speaker, Dr. Philip Giesler. He brings us an important message on the topic of forgiveness. Let us know that that is so essential that we have God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, by grace, through faith, and then let us also know that as others sin against us, it is essential that we forgive them, even as God has forgiven us. May God bless our listening and our responding to this important message.
Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would be kind enough to turn to page 5 in your bulletins, you'll pick up both the theme for today and the text from which it comes. Our theme is Forgiven but Not Forgiving, with a subtitle, A Scary Thought. It comes from Matthew chapter 18 in a dialogue between Jesus and Peter, and then a tremendous parable told by Jesus to get the point of forgiveness across to you and me. The scriptures say, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked him, 'Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother who sins against me? 7 times? Jesus answered him, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began to do so, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. In the typing, 3 zeros have dropped away. It should read $10 million, and probably even higher with our inflationary rates today compared to what it was in Bible times. When this slave could not pay the debt, the master ordered him, his wife, his children, and all that he had, IRAs, bank accounts, whole bit, to be sold in order to settle the account. Then the slave fell on his knees and, bowing low before him, begged, 'Be patient with me, and I will repay you everything.' The master felt sorry for his slave, freed him, and canceled the debt. But when that slave went away, he found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. I've already put the inflationary cost in there. That'd be probably in our bank system today about $100. In Bible times, about $17. Big comparison, $17 to $10 million. Jesus does know how to get his points across. He grabbed him. That is that slave who wanted to be repaid. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay what you owe,' he said. Then his fellow slave fell on his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will repay you.' But he refused. Instead, he turned away and had him put in prison until he would pay what he owed. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they felt very sad and came and told their master the whole story. Then his master sent for him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I canceled all you owed me because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have treated your fellow slave as mercifully as I treated you?' His master was so angry that he handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that he owed." And Jesus concludes by saying, "That is what my Father in heaven will do to you if each of you will not heartily forgive his brother." in the name of Jesus, fellow forgiven ones. Did you hear what he said? Sounds pretty crazy to me. Like he's not in touch with the world. No wonder they crucified him. Did you hear what he said? He said, if someone double crosses you, forgive him 490 times. Wow. The world doesn't even give you two chances, letting alone 490. You know the old phrase, right? Fool me once, fool me twice. Or you know the other one, first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me. Or the best one of all. Oh, I forgive you, but I'll never forget it. That's the world. And so Jesus seems just so out of touch with things, doesn't he? And then, of course, it's Peter who has to get the whole thing started, right? By asking the question, oh, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And then he about broke his arm patting himself on the back. Do you know why? Because the Pharisees had the practice of forgive a person three times. So old generous Peter doubled it, added one, came up with seven, and thought the Lord was going to compliment him. And then Jesus comes back with that shocker. No, not seven, but 70 times seven. Oh, it just doesn't fit our world, does it? Forgiveness is not part of the fiber. Revenge, though, will get a lot of viewers on TV. And we often don't like Jesus saying, in the words of God, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll do the repaying, because you and I would like to be the ones getting even, because maybe God will be too slow. Well, here comes Jesus. He ups the ante to 490 from seven. Right. But wait a minute. Maybe his parable today puts things into perspective for you and me who are his followers. What a parable he told. This is truly one of the greatest of the greats that he did. He tells the story of this guy who has slaves, and he's going to take an account of his money. And he finds this one slave that owes him an unpayable amount, a debt so large that it couldn't be paid off probably in three lifetimes. And yet when the man begs him for forgiveness to cancel the debt, the unbelievable thing happens. He forgives him. Who would ever be crazy enough to forgive a debt like that? God. He's in the forgiving business. He's in the business of getting rid of debts of people who have violated his will. Well, in any event, this guy goes off happy. Wow, no debts. Wouldn't you like that in life? But then he finds one of his fellow slaves, a guy that he's no higher than, who owes him a measly amount of money and threatens him, actually takes him by the throat and chokes him and says, pay or I'm going to have you thrown in prison. The guy begs him for mercy, just as he had begged the master for mercy. But this slave is not merciful. That's why we call this parable the parable of the unmerciful servant. He says no. In fact, he doesn't even say that. He just turns his back on him and has him ordered off to prison till he can pay the debt. Now, in the parable, the other slaves that witness this little epidemic act are very saddened. They stand for Christian people who ought to be forgiving. And the Bible tells us they felt very sad by what they had witnessed. And they went to the master and they told him the story. And the master immediately called that first slave into him and he said, "You are so wicked. I mercifully forgave you. Why didn't you show the same kind of mercy?" And that's what God would ask Christians today. If you have been forgiven so much, how dare you not show mercy to somebody else who has severely harmed you? Well, he had this guy thrown in prison till he could pay it all, which of course he could never do. And then Jesus ends the story with this scary little thought. Fits the subtitle of the sermon today. He says, just as that guy was thrown in prison, so people are going to be thrown into the prison of hell under these conditions. That is what my Father in heaven will do to you. If each of you, speaking to all people of all generations, he says, this is what's going to happen to you if you will not heartily forgive your brother. Oh, that leaves that, "I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget." That does not come from a righteous heart. Probably comes from a heart, okay? A heart that's full of evil and non-forgiveness. Now, we need to look at this whole thing a little bit more. You see, the question becomes this today: revenge or forgiveness? Get even or forgive? Now, the unmerciful servant just grabbed a guy and choked him. Of course, the world's gotten better today, right? Now they just cut your head off if they disagree with you. You've seen that, I think, on the news these recent times. What a world. No wonder Jesus had to confront it with the entire subject of forgiveness. Now I have two main thoughts to bring to you today on the basis of this text. My first question is, are 490 times too many? I talk to you parents, if you've raised children. How long does it take your children to rack up 490 bad things? Probably reach it by about age 2.5 during the terrible twos. "Now, I won't forgive you the 490th time. I'll kill you." No parent is going to think of that unless they're mentally insane. We forgive and forgive and forgive. And that's what Jesus is saying here. In a moment, I'm going to tell you a little bit about that other passage that comes there at the bottom of your text today on the fifth page of your bulletin. But let me tell you, first of all, that Jesus is using this number, the number 7 and its multiples, the number meaning perfect, holy. He's saying, you forgive your neighbor a perfect amount of times. No, he is not saying 490. He is saying you forgive them as often as they sin against you. He's not calling on you to be a fool. You have to play it by ear in certain situations. But at the same time, he is not saying on the 491st time, you have a right to not forgive. Because if he stopped after 490, nobody would go to heaven. I want to take you back for a moment to those two passages at the bottom of your fifth page, to Genesis chapter 4. because I know Jesus knew this situation. He knew that revenge was around from the beginning. From the moment that Cain killed Abel, it is revenge in this world. You see, when God meted out the punishment upon Cain for killing his brother, Cain right away came back and said, "That's too much. There's too many relatives out there of Abel, and they're going to come and they're going to kill me." God said, "I'm putting a mark on you that they won't come near you. And if anybody does, and anybody hurts you, I will avenge you seven times." That's what it says here in the scriptures. Anyone who kills Cain will be punished seven times. Now, the great-great-great-great-great-grandson of Cain was named Lamech. We call him the bad Lamech. There's another Lamech that we call the good Lamech. He was the father of Noah many years later. But the first one is the first bigamist in this world. Lamech, the bad Lamech. You see, Adam had enough trouble with one wife, he thought he would have two wives. And after he killed a man one day who had harmed him, he came back and bragged to his two wives. What did he say? Look there. He says in Genesis 4, "If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech 77 times." Revenge. Now Jesus turns the tables. He knows these passages. He hears the suggestion of Peter, and then he goes to work with the number seven and says, "Let's make it in the Christian church 70 times seven." And let's go back to my second question then. Are 490 times too many? Well, let's see. How many times do you sin in a day, in a week, in a month, in a year, in a lifetime? If you think, "Well, I probably only sin about five times a week," I'm going to tell you, you already have one foot in hell. And I can tell you, you do not know the Ten Commandments. Because you would be amazed at all the ways that you can break God's will. And is he ever loving? Because he sees all your sins that you know, and even the ones that you don't realize you have done, and yet he is willing to forgive week after week at the supper. Day after day when you ask him in your private prayers. And if you're one of those people who thinks, "Well, I'm not that bad. I'm certainly better than David or Peter or Judas," you got the other foot in hell then. Because you know, it was the great apostle Paul and Isaiah, both of them, after they were Christians, believed in God and had the forgiveness of sins, that they called themselves the worst of sinners. And I certainly know way more about my sins than I know about Paul's or the sins of Judas. And that makes me the chief of sinners. And that's why we sing it. "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me. Died that I might live on high, live that I might never die. As the branches to the vine, I am his, and he is mine." I need him to be forgiving to a rotten, filthy, good-for-nothing sinner who has been exactly like that slave that owed an insurmountable amount of debt. And yet our Master in heaven, the Lord Jesus, is willing to forgive us. And don't be arrogant like, "Oh, my sins from the past are so bad, even Jesus could not forgive them." That's another sin. Chalk it up and ask for forgiveness. If you don't think God can wipe out anything, you are forgiven by the blood of Christ at Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago. You take it unto yourself in a personal way at the supper that he says, "I love you," as you take that bread and wine. You are cleared of your debt Now what you got to do with the other guy's debt? The guy who double crosses you, huh? Well, Jesus tells you what you do. You keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving, like you forgive your kids over and over, like you should forgive your husband and wife over and over, a sister, a brother, a double-crossing friend that you can't get over. Think you better take care of that today. Did you hear how Jesus ended the parable? That is what my Father in heaven will do to you if each of you will not heartily forgive his brother. Forgiving or forgiven, not forgiving. That's not only a scary thought, that's a horrible thought. In light of what Jesus says, it's terrible. And then again, how many of you love to say the Lord's Prayer? Oh, that's my Lord's Prayer. I should say it, and I do say it. Well, how about this part? And forgive the debts of your neighbor just as you are forgiven. And forgive us our trespasses, our debts, just as we forgive others. Whoa, are we in trouble? And that's what God says. He forgives like you forgive. Think we better work on some things, right? That's very serious stuff. But there are things in your life. How do you forget? But you can still be forgiving. And that's what God calls upon you to do. You and I have elephant memories, right? When we get hurt. It's so personal. Don't you think it's personal to God when you rebel against him day after day, year after year, moment after moment? It's personal. And God wants us to remember how personal he has been with you and me. Every day he forgives us, loves us when we are so unlovable. And then he says, why don't you love all those unlovable people in your life? Some of them live under your same roof. Some of them work in the same building where you work. Some of them you run into and wish you never had to see them again. But attitudes from Christians need to be different than attitudes of unbelievers. We are a different people. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation who has witnessed the wonderful things of God. Why don't we share them with one another? Forgive from the heart. Hard to do when you're a sinner, but also easy to do as a Christian because you have the new self living in you. Why don't you work with that part instead of the revenge part? What a powerful thing from Jesus. Did you hear what he said? 70 times 7. When you get done with that, and it's eternal forgiveness, then you don't have to forgive anymore. But you'll never get there. Because Jesus says, forgive over and over and over from your heart, just as the Father has forgiven you over and over and over. And the sermon is now over. May glory be to God. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Here are various ways that you can connect with us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church. Go to our website, benefitfromthebible.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Search for Benefit from the Bible. Send your questions to questions@benefitfromthebible.com. If you have a church, be faithful, attend. If you do not have a church, Give us a try at Bethlehem. We're located on State Road in Parma, just south of Pleasant Valley Road. We have services on Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock and at 10:45. Then in between at 9:30, we have Bible class. Also, on Monday evenings, we have worship at 7 p.m. Please join us. If you live far away, we encourage you to find a church in your area that rightly handles God's Word of Truth. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.